You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. My name is Lisa Loving. We're waiting for our guest who had been scheduled to come here for this last segment of the news, Gregory McKelvey. I'm putting this out. He's had a very difficult day. He's had a very difficult week. So we don't know where he is. Perhaps he's stuck somewhere. So we're joined by Jenna Yokoyama. Of course, we're here with Kanan Schlesinger. And we have been talking about this case and talking about the ACLU of Oregon's official response to it. Can I kick it out to you, Kanan?
Yeah. So the ACLU of Oregon just today, I believe, wrote an open letter to Charlie Hales and Chief Marshman, just pointing out the fact that they arrested Gregory McKelvey, who is, as we know, deeply involved with PDX resistance as well as Black Lives Matter, and was targeted for, so, we don't really know, but I think his constitutionally protected right to free speech. And the ACLU of Oregon is essentially calling out the Portland Police Department and Charlie Hales for doing things to engaging in a pattern in a practice of retaliatory arrests against local organizers. And as we speak right now, Gregory McKelvey is entering the room and donning a pair of headphones and is going to join us. So I am going to get ready to kick it over. The one last notable thing from this letter to Charlie Hales is that it says, while we understand the difficulties faced by local law enforcement, silencing the voices of community leaders through a practice of harassing arrests is clearly unconstitutional and destroys the trust between the community and its public servants. So our very special guest tonight is Gregory McKelvey, one of the key individuals inside this new organization, PDX Resistance. Gregory, we're honored to have you here in studio too. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And also Catherine, thank you so much also for being here.
Yes. Yeah, Kat Stevens is here too. She's a little beat up though.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So yeah, talk about what happened where you're coming from right now.
Sure. So in regards to last night.
Yeah.
So last night we were just assisting these high schoolers in their event. You know, it was not planned by us. It was not organized by us. They just reached out because they were scared about being in the streets and wanted to be with people that had been in the streets before and knew, you know, the tactics of the police. So when the police make a certain move, so I could explain to them what the police are trying to do. We were just there to assist and help and give them our advice. We did not set the route. We made no directions whatsoever. We were just there to support these students. And I think it's important to show, you know, the youth the power that they have when they collectively organize. So we do that. And then the police targeted the three organizers of Portland's resistance that were there, that were participating in the march and arrested all three of us.
How did you know that you were targeted? How did that go down?
Well, throughout the night, the police were saying, you know, we get to arrest you today, laughing at us and stuff. You know, we get to arrest you today.
You mean individual officers actually said that to you?
Yeah, multiple individual officers said that to me. You're getting arrested today. We get to arrest you today, as well as to Micah Rhodes. I don't think the plan was to arrest Kat Stevens, but I don't think they said that to her, but they said it to me and Micah, also coincidentally, the two black organizers that were there. And, so they just randomly, we were, participating in the march and, I just felt somebody grab my hand. I didn't even see him coming and they said, Mr. McKelvey, you're under arrest. But yeah, they obviously knew my name. It wasn't due to any actions of that night. They knew who I was. They were telling me I was going to get arrested all night. But it's, you know, I'm not hurt by it, but I'm shocked a little bit because it just seems like a horrible move on their part. I just don't understand what Hales and his police force are thinking. You know, every time I think he thinks that I'm just a young kid so he can like outplay me, but every time he tries, it doesn't work out.
Because the other important thing to know is that the charges were dropped. Do I understand that correctly?
It's no contest or so. No contest, no complaint, mm-hmm. Non-complainted, which means that they can bring them back anytime within the next 2 years if they want to.
How is that legal?
It shouldn't be. It sounds something like double jeopardy or something like that.
But still, that's
where we're at right now. But I don't anticipate any criminal charges happening or sticking to me because, one, I'm not a criminal, and two, it's just it's a bad look on the the police, and we're going to have a new mayor coming in that I don't think is going to be as hostile towards protesters as Charlie Hills has been.
So I have like a two-part question. So when you were approached, were these officers in plain clothes, or were they what were you doing?
They were the bike cops, so they were wearing the yellow uniforms. They had their helmets and everything on. What I saw was Greg was out in the front. He was probably 10 feet in front of me, and I turned back because I heard them shouting, and I thought that there was something wrong in the crowd, and they were all looking in front. And then when I turned back around to see where Greg was, I was trying to catch up with him at the time. He had three officers that were around him that were starting to grab his arms and cuff him.
What's interesting about the officers that were there yesterday too, they had black things covering up their badges, so we couldn't know what officers they were. They had, was it tape or stickers?
I'm not sure. There's multiple videos out there where people are trying to get the names of the police officers, and they couldn't see their names. They were covered. It's kind of dark to see, but the names are covered up by vest, or like there was a black tag or something over one of the police officers' badges.
And they're wearing masks as well.
Yeah, so.
They're wearing masks, covering their faces.
It's funny because we get called anarchists, but
right. So did they read you your rights?
Yeah, they read me my rights. Not while I was being arrested, but before they attempted to question me, they were like, they sat me in jail, and a detective came by and said, these are your rights. Do you understand them? Would you like to talk? And obviously I said, no, I would not.
Could I ask a question, though?
Of course.
So you were talking about the police, what the police are doing, but the police, theoretically, I mean, the mayor is in charge of them, theoretically. Do you believe that he is? Do you believe that they're doing exactly what he's saying?
Yeah, of course. I've met with the mayor. There was one time where I don't think that he has the capacity or energy or ability to spend all of his energy on directing the police. That said, he's also the police commissioner, so they answer to him, and they're responsible to him, and he's responsible for their actions. So when they do things like target me, he's to blame for that. I also don't think it's coincidental that he had his March of Hope today, or was supposed to, and he invited myself to participate, and I declined, and then within 24 hours I was arrested. And my court date would have happened at the same time as that if I would have had an actual court date. So I think that he was trying to stop me from ruining his march, which I wasn't going to do. And his first tactic to do that was to involve me in a way that he thought was appropriate. And when that didn't work, his next tactic was to get me in jail. And it's disgusting. I'm glad that the ACLU is stepping up. A lot of attorneys are stepping up. And, you know, me and him have a long past. I led protesters to camp outside of his house already. So he doesn't like me. But I think it's cowardly for him to now say, oh, I don't have the power to do something like that. That's ridiculous. Of course you do. When we met with him about gang enforcement coming to our protests in the past, like in September, he said that he would put an end to that. There would be no more gang enforcement officers going there. And he was upset that they had been firing things at our feet. And so he had the power to stop that. But for some reason now, he doesn't have the power to stop them from targeting me.
So let's stop for a second and talk about that. Gang enforcement showing up to protests, the way that the protests have been spun by the media, labeling them as riots, kind of focusing in on the violence, labeling people who are out in the streets as anarchists. What are your tactics, and how are these differentiated from what you were hearing in the media?
So what I think is that it's important to understand that there is a diversity of tactics. And I think regardless, even if you are condemning or upset with destruction of property, it doesn't make much sense that you're more upset about destruction of property than you are of the destruction of humans through policy, through Trump's policies, through what Charlie Hills is doing to us in the streets. That is not our tactic. Our tactic is not violence. And it's never going to be. Our tactic is peace. But I think I have a lot more in common with the people that are so upset that they feel like they might have to smash something than I do with Charlie Hills. I'm never going to be the one smashing anything, but I understand it, right? Like a language, Martin Luther King said, a riot is the language of the unheard. And we do so much first level analysis of, yes, we don't like violence. Yes, we don't like destruction of property, but nobody's doing a step deeper to think, why do these people feel unheard? Why are they so disenfranchised? And I think that the way Charlie Hills is dealing with these officers only contributes to that feeling of being unheard.
So what is your specific goal with the street demonstrations, and do you anticipate them continuing?
I do. They have obviously slowed down. But what it does is, I mean, our group basically is like at the forefront of this movement right now. We have almost 15,000 likes on Facebook. We were able to raise a lot of money, more than we expected, for certain causes. And so what it does is it gives us leverage. It gains our numbers. It gives us energy. But if we don't transform that into political action and policy change, then it's all for nothing. And so that's what we are transitioning into, to make sure that we do have policies here that Charlie Hales has failed to act on, such as rent control or real substantial stuff on climate change. That's what we're aiming towards. And if we don't change the system, then there's then it was all for nothing. But also just making sure that Ted Wheeler understands, you know, you don't want me camped out in front of your lawn. So work with us.
We are running out of show. And sure. So I have to ask you straight up, how do people connect with you? How do people support what you're doing?
So Facebook, Portland's Resistance. On Twitter, it's PDX_resistance. My Twitter handle is Gregory McKelvey. Also it's pdxresistance.org is the website, and you can email us at any time at portlandsresistance@gmail.com.
We have to wrap it up and say thank you so much for being here. Please,
of course.
Please come on again and again. Just
anytime.
Pick up the phone.
Anytime.
All right.
Cool. Well, you've been listening to Gregory and Kat Stevens. That was, and they're with Portland Resistance. Connect with them on Facebook, like them, follow them at a page called Portland's Resistance.